In the ancient synagogue, there was someone who was whose job it was to be the Shema reader. And it was a great honor. And it was one who, in whom the rabbi saw what was there, even though no one else in the world may see it.
That's where Larry gets it.
That's right. And so anyway, for us, I want to make, because of that, I want to make, because of what I see and nobody else does, especially him, I want to make John McCauley the Shema reader.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an honor.
This is the greatest honor I can give. Okay, and those are the Shemas. This, and every, you know, and what happens is it's time, the word, the first word, it's Shema, it's the word hear, and it's when you put everything in your universe away, outside, so that you can hear with understanding. And it's incumbent upon you, if you don't think you can hear, to say so. Because if you don't say so, and I find out your history. Okay?
More like Rick all the time.
Okay, the first part of the Shema is Deuteronomy 6. Verse 7 through... No, not verse 7. 4 through 9. Okay. I thought I was looking at my poor wrong board. I can't see the board. Shut up.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them down upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bind them, that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
Amen. No, it wasn't done anyway. I shouldn't. Once the Shema reading starts, nothing, including God Himself, can interrupt it. It's pretty wild.
That's interesting.
So if you think the world's coming to an end, and you but you have to be with 10. The Shema can't be read unless there are 10. People
they're
at rest.
Going to be around
in which
10
case
people
it doesn't
rest.
Matter anyway.
Okay.
The world's coming to an end. They're not going to be at rest. Here.
Then this once, if we could hear truly what was just said, that constitutes everything in the gospel, everything in the mystery. If once we hear with understanding, once we Shema, then this is the Lord's Shema. Okay. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that they thought and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spared his own son that serveth him. And then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth himself. Pretty good stuff, huh? Genesis 1. God, I've waited a long time to say that.
We need the overture for 2001 or something.
Jackie's around for sound effect. Theme music and sound effect.
You haven't seen all of them,
Genesis 1, the first word in the Hebrew is Be-Sharith. Be-Reshith. Be-R-E-S-H-I-T-H. And that means in the beginning. The idea that every letter of the Torah is a mystery. There are innumerable pages upon pages of arguments and discussions by the ancient rabbis on why God started or created the universe using Beth instead of Aleph. Beth, B-E-T-H, is the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is the first word of the scripture, of the Torah. There's an incredible importance placed on the fact that the Hebrew letter Beth was the first letter in Torah. Now, its shape defines, and each shape of the Hebrew letters define incredible mysteries if we could understand them. I'm going to just sort of summarize a few of these questions. It's not funny, it's really neat. Why was the world created with a Beth? It's too bad Beth here too isn't here.
So I was thinking that is it shaped like a large pregnant woman?
Yeah. Why was the world created with a Beth? And the answer is just as a Beth is closed at the sides and the back, but open in the front, so you are not permitted or... better stated, not able to understand, you are not permitted to investigate what is behind, i.e. before time. You're not capable of understanding what is before time, or what is above, You're not capable of visualizing yourself for any period of time living in the state of bliss of heaven or what is below. Neither are you capable of living, of understanding really what is below. But it's open in the front, so you're capable of speculating of what's going to happen in the future and planning for what's going to happen in the future. And therein is the test and the reason why God created the world with a bet. Because he created for the test that you knowingly should not think of the next second, but you always do. And that test is why you were created. You understand? It's not that you shouldn't. It's that you're incapable of thinking of, you're incapable of forming a question of what was it like before time. You understand that? That's why you cannot conceive of God. You're incapable of perceiving what it's like for a sustained, you can only have a glimpse, but you're incapable of perceiving what it's like in heaven.
One of the things you've always said that confused me is, if you're not in heaven now, you never will be. But I could never visualize that. I mean, this clears that up.
Okay. But because it's the letter is used at it's closed, it means that you can study and speculate and understand the moment of creation itself. And that's what this first study of the three-year cycle is. Its name is Bereshith.
So this is that moment.
Bereshith. Understand? Okay. Another one. Why? You gotta get into this stuff. You got in your mind, let your mind go to all the whys you've ever thought of that you discarded when you were a little kid. You remember? Remember all the great whys you had? Well, you gotta bring them back. But anyway, this sort of to prime the pump. Why, again, was the world created with a Beth? To teach you that there are two simultaneous realities ever and always. Because the numerical value of Beth is two. See, in the Hebrew alphabet, there's no such thing as a numbering system and an alphabetic system. The numbers, the alphabet is the numbers. You understand? So that's why it's the stupidity of saying that who's 666, you know, in other languages. Okay. Why then was the world really created with a Beth? Because it connotates that the world was created for a blessing for you. A blessing because Beth is the word or the symbol of Barak or Barakah, which is meaning of blessing. Why was it not created, as logic would say, with the Aleph, which is the first letter of the alphabet? The reason is because then someone could say that the world was created for a curse. Because of the Hebrew, the worst curse there is Asah. Well, anyway, we could go on and on and on. But that gives you an idea of the kind of stuff. Huh?
I was just going to say that part.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, because it's B, or anyway, the second letter, it also is like, there was all kinds of stuff that came before that. Like, he's crucified before the foundation.
Right. We're going to start. Just happen to have that very information right here. It's another reason.
Well, she would mention it.
She gets a blessing for that.
You're up a blessing.
It's too bad, Rick. Yeah, it's too bad. It's too bad that you're.
Maybe Rick could borrow.
Maybe Rick, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Usury into blessings.
That'll be blessing interest.
I'll trade you one blessing.
Come see me in my tent. I'll be
today or two blessings next week.
Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't come up with a blessing.
As I said, I could spend the next 100 years studying Bereshith. I mean, it's got all the mysteries and the things that... Okay.
Okay. Why was...
For us, now this is a lot of new stuff that nobody else has studied. Why was the world created with a Beth? It's the second estate. That there was a total existence in a world that existed before this one. It was called the world of Lucifer, or the age of Lucifer. That it had animals and things that would look like humans. It had tremendous different kinds of animal, but it was all destroyed. And it was destroyed totally. There wasn't an ark that saved anything. And that's what you see as fossils.
So are gargoyles like a memory?
Gargoyles are what those... Gargoyles are what the age of Lucifer looks like now that they're spiritualized.
Okay,
there was a whole other creation that existed here on Earth before man.
You don't hear this anywhere else.
Yeah, this is the only place you'll ever hear this.
I thought. Did you want to say mid-sentence?
Is this
from
Jewish folklore?
This is old.
No, but it's not. I can prove it to you. So many thousand ways.
One or two would do it.
I'm a scientist. I'm a geophysicist. When I became a believer, I couldn't accept the ridiculous statements by extant believers about how old the Earth is and about evolution and not evolution. And so I applied the same principles that I would to any scientific study and to the idea of what creation was. It took a long, long time. But then I found that the internal evidence in the scriptures for this other existence that existed before. And then, in praying about it, I saw it.
Wow.
It's ugly, bad, okay. Evil. And that's where the reason that what happened, there was a whole age. Lucifer was the first being created. And he had like beings, huge numbers of them. They were, to their way of thinking, the perfect beings. There was a Garden of Eden that existed at the time. And a third of these beings ate both of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and of the tree of life. And when that reached that critical point, they were spiritualized, and the world was destroyed. Not like it's going to be this time, but destroyed by water. It was a total and complete destruction that lasted for millions of years, according to our time.
Would that be like the Ice Age? Or the?
Well, no, I mean, it's far before that.
When you say water, it's like, not water.
Yeah, it's water.
Real water.
Ocean. H2O. But it was H2O that, because of the destruction, was heated to the... almost to the intensity of what it is on the inner core. And all life, everything was destroyed. All potential for life was destroyed. All bacteria was destroyed. All viruses were destroyed. Because of this, the earth core is the inner core is molten. And it's molten in almost a fourth state of matter all the way out to what's called the Mohorovicic discontinuity, which defines what the crust and the mantle. Well, the water that was in the crust and the water that was above all came to the surface in a massive explosions that heated the water that's on the surface to thousands of degrees. It killed everything. Okay. Anybody that's interested in this, well, we'll study when we get a little bit farther on. When we study the flood, what we'll do is we'll compare Noah's flood with Lucifer's flood, and I'll show you in the scriptures the different ideas. Okay. Do you like to get into? Is this kind of stuff you like to get into?
If you want almost like God made a mistake, or that he thought he made a mistake.
No, he didn't make a mistake, because in order for us to be tested spiritually, the spiritual beings had to be created.
Yeah, so they survived, right?
Oh,
survived.
So there had to be an overlay.
Amen.
Okay.
We have to be tested in the natural as well as the spirit. And there had to be beings for the test created, and there had to be first natural and spirit.
Okay. The bullies.
The bullies, the bad guys.
Who are you?
I mean, again, let me say this to you, and I say it in humility, I hope. If there is a question that you have about life that I cannot answer, you should fire me.
Let's think.
There is no... I'm serious, and that should be the case for everyone that calls themselves a preacher or a rabbi or a Bible study teacher. If I can't answer it, I know where to go.
About life meaning...
Yeah, I'm not going to say, can you create the atomic... Well, I understand atomic energy, but there are many, many things that I don't understand. I don't understand computers. Life, the essence of life.
The real stuff.
Okay. Why then? And why else did God create the world with a Beth instead of an Aleph?
Doesn't Beth mean house?
Hmm?
Doesn't Beth mean house?
It's the beginning of house. Yeah, Beth is house.
Wow.
Not necessarily house. Could also mean temple. Could also mean
tabernacle.
Something that contains something.
Bathroom.
Okay. Because he was showing us that at least six things, besides what I just talked about, preceded even that creation. Okay? The six things that preceded creation were the Torah itself. That's from Proverbs 8:22, and we're going to study that in a minute. The throne of glory, Proverbs 8:22. The second thing that was created was the throne of glory. That was in Psalm 93:2. The patriarchs were seen, in other words, the fathers of the faith were seen, in Hosea 9:10. Israel was seen, or the bride was seen, as Psalm 74:2. The temple was seen, Jeremiah 17, verse 12. The name of the Messiah was known before the creation. Psalm 72:17 and 1 Peter 1:20. The cross was seen before the creation of the world. Revelation 13:8. That makes the seventh. They say six things. I'm going to say there are eight things. Okay?
What's going on up there?
I don't know.
It's
like dancing.
They're probably dancing. The cross was preceded, which is Revelation 13:8. You understand what the first six I just said, up to naming the Messiah, that's what the ancient patriarchs said. Okay, then I'm saying, in addition to that, the cross was seen, which is Revelation 13:8, the seventh thing. And then the eighth thing that was seen is us. Ephesians 1:4, Revelation 17:8. What that means is we then are the eighth day. Eight is always a symbol of resurrection. Seven is a symbol of the rest. The patriarchs didn't even see up to the rest. Okay?
Well, in the first six, there's Israel, right?
Hmm?
In the first
Israel.
Six includes Israel, but
yeah.
That's different from us?
No. They saw it as the natural Israel is much different from us. Now, one of the things that we're going to start as a custom is that once a year someone is going to give the sermon by Melito of Sardi that was from AD 150. It's the most incredible document I have ever seen in my life, if you haven't heard it or if you've forgotten about it. This year I'm going to give it, but if I die after I give it, next year I pray one of you will give it. Because I want it to become a custom to show that we are anchored not only spiritually back to all these things, but we are anchored to a man and a body of people that go all the way back to 150 AD. You won't believe this sermon if you haven't heard it.
It's incredible.
So that's what we're going to do Sunday morning. Okay? Now, according to the Talmud tract called Peshaim, which is the tract that concerns the description, there are 64 volumes of the Talmud. You understand? The Talmud allegedly comes from the Halakha, or the law portion of the Talmud, comes from, they claim, all the way back to Moses. It was finally written down about 200 BC, I mean AD. Each of the one of the 64 tracts is called Peshaim. That's what all those books are in my office. For those, Peshaim is the tract of the Talmud that describes the exact procedures for Passover. Okay, in that, they talk about this question, and the patriarch said, the most mystical of them all said, that there were 974 creations that existed before our present age.
Only
974 creations existed before our present age. All of them existed so that we could be here in some way.
Sure.
Like we're one of the meanings they said of the pyramid, because you exist at the top of the genetic pyramid. Okay, the name of the Messiah that was known before the creation was 42 letters of the Hebrew alphabet that were used in Exodus 14, where God says, Moses says, "Who are you?" And God says, "I am that I am." Okay? Now, those "I am that I am," within it is the name of the Messiah. And the name of the Messiah then, if I could speak it, is Yahweh Asher Yihweh. And what it means is, I cause to be what is. Now, the biggest problem that has ever existed since man had a consciousness of himself, or since you as an individual had a consciousness of yourself, is the idea that something at this moment isn't right. And therefore it requires you to change it, or to plan some action, or to take some action to protect yourself. The lesson of Bereshith, the lesson of the name of the Messiah is, and the lesson of the Shema is, I am. There are no other gods before me. Therefore, by definition, you can't be in competition with them. Therefore, you cannot in any way have the right to say that I should be different than I am, or therefore I should take thought for tomorrow. In other words, all of the doctrine that I am teaching you about abandonment of self and that it's finished has as its roots back the beginning of all of the things that are here. I mean, what I am telling you is the oldest thing on the face of the earth. It should be the normative for anyone that calls himself a believer. But it's considered by the idiots and the Pharisees and the Sadducees today to be something weird. Why? Because it's weird? No, because I can show them a continuance of this doctrine, this message, from back, not just 2,000 years ago, back 5,500 years ago. They can't show me anything about their jack shit philosophy except for the last 30 or 50 years. The Hebrew meaning of truth, the Hebrew word for truth, is emeth. It's that which is eternal. You must judge your doctrine by truth. Is it eternal? Does it change with time? If you have a belief system that changes with time, throw it out. If you have a belief system which has changed in your lifetime, throw it out. If you have these idiots on television that are giving you a something in the name of God that can't be applicable to every generation, to every time, then they're by definition liars. Take Tilton or Swaggart or any of these guys, anybody, and test their preaching against what is, could it be said in the caves of where, could it be said in the lion's den of by Daniel? Could it be said in the first century when Christians were losing their life in the gymnasiums or in the games? Colosseums. Could it be said in China today where it's costing them their life to say they believe? Do you understand me? We are about something that is so eternal, we are the top of the pyramid. Don't let your mind or anyone else's mind start telling you about this being some kind of weird religion. I can prove to them that whatever they believe and whatever they think they believe is weird. This is the thing that has 5,000 years of anchoring. Bereshith, in the beginning. Amen? I thought I was going to get done.
This is like a Reader's Digest version. This is when it gets hard to take notes because you get blown away. And just...
Yes,
I'll listen to the tape.
Okay, go for Proverbs 8. Now, the word bay here, the B, the Beth, in bay. Reshith. Bay, Reshith is the beginning. Bay is in. You understand? That's what it's normally translated. But it can also be translated, bay can also be translated as for the sake of.
Wow.
What it can mean then is for the sake of the beginning God created. Wow. For the sake of the Son, God created a bride. Now, specifically, it's for the sake of the first fruit. And I can show you that and all kinds of Hebrew weird stuff. That's the problem with us, and I studied it enough to recognize it, but I can't take the time to teach you guys Hebrew. So we miss the mystery in the shape of the letters and the understanding of the words. But we don't have to miss. I mean, we can get enough to see. That's all. We can have to see the stupidity of our own belief systems. The word, for the sake of the first fruit God created. Again, the first fruit is Jesus Christ. For the sake of the beginning God created. For the sake of the beginning. The beginning was the Word made flesh. Now, somebody reads Proverbs 8:22 and 23.
Possess me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was.
Okay. Now that's mind-blowing enough in itself, but here's another translation of it which is more accurate. The Lord made me the first of his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, from ever the earth or before the earth was. Now, hear me. This is talking about Jesus Christ. But the beauty of it is, it says, Jesus, in 1 John, it says, as he is in the world, so are we. This is our heritage. This is what we are about. The Lord made me the first of his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, for ere the earth was. In Revelation 17 says that. It says, that you were there. You were seen. You were known. You were there from before the foundation of the world.
And that's the definition of born
again. And that's the definition of born again, but when you recognize that in your mind, it's the definition of being a spiritual father, according to 1 John 2, because you were there from the beginning. And until you're a spiritual father, you can't reproduce yourself. Now, the problem with us as a body, with not just us here, but all of the body, you realize essentially that there's not one person in this body that came for any other reason than me? That's dumb, but it's also natural. It's not that you can produce... How can I say it? A teenager can get horny and horny as hell, but that doesn't mean he's ready to produce. Okay, what these folks need, do you understand what happens when you know that you were there from the beginning? Patience is... patience is just jack shit. I mean, it's easy. Somebody gonna bother you? Something gonna bother you? Are you gonna, what? Are you gonna put up with somebody's bullshit? No, you're gonna cut the baby in half every time somebody comes to you. Now, that's your heritage. In the beginning, Bereshith. We just started. We could study Bereshith. The book of Genesis is not a scientific book. The book of Genesis is not a history.
It's a political manual.
The book of Genesis is not a political document.
Just to cover the operating instructions.
The book of Genesis paints 11 different pictures. 11. Word pictures. And that's its function. It's to paint a picture of a metaphor, looked at from 11 different viewpoints. In that, the book of Genesis represents 11 family histories. If you look at it, these are the days, or these are the families of, and you'll see it 11 different. One of them is the families, the earth itself considered a family. Then there's 11 different ones, and I'll try to point them out to you when we reach them, that this is the end of a document. These are 11 different documents. That's now called the book of Genesis. All right? And it has to be seen that way, otherwise you get all screwed up. The book of Genesis, the Bible isn't a book that you can sit down and, okay, I'm going to go through the Bible in a year, or I'm going to do this or that. The only one that you're supposed to go through is Torah. The rest of the Bible is expansion on that tale. Okay? The other thing you have to understand about the Bible and about the Hebrew look at life is their understanding of time. There is no history, there's no past in the Hebrew language. When it says, in the beginning God created, the word doesn't say God created the heaven and the earth, or in the beginning, and God said, let there be light. It's in the beginning, God is saying. In other words, it's right now. There's no way of saying, he said. There can only be a way of saying, he is saying. You understand? So there's no history. There's only prophecy. The Hebrew language cannot have history. It can't permit history. It can only permit prophecy. But prophecy meaning not that which is going to happen. It's the instantaneous. I mean, and God is saying, let there be light. Now, that kind of a creation has to, it doesn't have any meaning unless it's witnessed. In other words, God didn't create creation in a vacuum. And it can't have meaning, and the time element has no meaning unless it's understood in you. In other words, if I say to you, and we understand as a body, in the beginning, or in this beginning, in now is the beginning, God is saying, let there be light, then we have to experience every element of the scriptures. If I am not successful in causing you to feel like you are there, and this is happening individually to you, then I have failed as a Bible study teacher. There's no history. There's no principles. There are no principles. There are no histories. There is no history. It's vital that you understand this. You have been presented and taught a view of time that is only conducive to the Antichrist. You have been taught a view of time that only has merit, makes sense if you can earn a living. If you can earn something. If you can get something right. The Hebrew view of time, and the Hebrew, which, by the way, you understand that your understanding of time creates your whole cosmology. It creates your whole religion. You may not understand it, but I can show you that how you think about time defines how you think about God.
Well, why would thinking about time as history be related to thinking of achievement?
Because they did this and they will do that. I did this and I will do that. It's back to the beginning. It's back to that. Who is the Antichrist? It's that he that denies that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh.
It's like what your parents do, and you say, well, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, or what you're
better.
Yeah.
Crucial in linear time is discerning patterns from the past and projecting those patterns into the future.
Not making the same mistake.
It would also be impossible to regret if you didn't have any ability to think about the past.
Yeah, and it that's an important one, because it the idea of time, the what is conceived now as linear time, is the tool of the Antichrist, or the God of this world, to cause you not to be able to repent. To cause you only to be able to regret. Repent says, I praise you, Father, for everything that has ever taken place, because without it, I could not have reached this point, this time. Regret says, oh, I screwed up back there. Now, please don't let me screw up again. Yeah. Let me get it right.
Linear time, by definition, it can't be finished if linear time is real.
Right. Now, this is one of the reasons I'm so excited about this new telescope that's being sent, because I know this telescope's going to prove all kinds of stuff that we say.
Cool.
The reason is, do you understand that all science is based on the belief system that time is linear?
Yeah.
Okay?
What's this telescope?
The Hubble.
The
Hubble, the one they just sent. It didn't go up yet. $8 billion telescope. It's going to be like, it's to look into time, is what it says.
Where is it going to be built?
380 miles up. No, it hasn't gone off yet.
So there's going to be like a...
It was
delayed.
There's going to be an astronomer looking through it. He'll look and see the back of himself looking through the telescope.
No, but what I think he will see, he will look and see the beginning and the destruction.
Wow.
It took place at the same time.
Well, that'll freak them out.
They won't know what to do with it. It's just as high energy physics, they don't know what to do with.
Quark. It depends on who's looking as to what he'll see.
No.
It makes you feel really sympathetic with people who run into situations like that and they don't have what we have. All of a sudden it's just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's why I'm far more in sympathy with scientists than I am with these idiot religionists.
Yeah.
They're idiots. I mean, face it. I get so mad at them, I can't even spit. They're perverts. They're idiots. They're weird. They're blaspheming the name of God among the Gentiles. Speaking of such.
Speaking of that, there's way.
Bitch's head off.
Speaking of perverts,
it is. Bereshith. In the beginning. Beginning. It's a feminine noun. So the creation is a feminine thing.
It's a girl child.
In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In this beginning, God. In every beginning, God. There is no thing that can take place in your life in which it isn't God. There's no second cause. There's no third cause. There's only God. Now, if you thought about the philosophical and ethical implications of what I just said, you'd pull your hair out. The belief system of what I've just said defines monotheism. As far as I know, there are no monotheists in the world today. In the beginning, God. Because they will say they are monotheistic, one God, but by their acts and by their words, they will show that and prove they believe in two or three or many. The rarest thing in the world, and this must become meat to you, is that you must believe only in one God, and He is the source and the cause of all things. Therefore, if you fight against Him, you're fighting against God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Now let's go to Exodus 20, the first time law is revealed. The first time Torah really is revealed to the flesh. Exodus 20. Remember Genesis 1, in the beginning. Now, Exodus 20. In the beginning, and God spake. Now, in the beginning is the first word, those are the first words of Torah, and God spake are the first words of Torah spirit. In other words, they're the proof of the two realities separated by, and it says it, but I can't remember, how many words of the Torah? In the beginning, and God spake. The law is spiritual. Torah is spiritual. Now, to understand that, it'd blow you away. The law is spiritual. It shows you in types and figures, just like hieroglyphics. Just that's all it, Egyptian hieroglyphics are. That's all your words are. They're an agreed upon thing. They're a conspiracy to say that this means that. That's all these things are here. It's conspiracy. I can show you, and I know with an instinct that God, that Hebrew was the first language. But it was a language of mystery. It was a language of adventure, because there were no vowel points. There were only consonants. And it would be impossible for anybody without the revelation, without the "and God said," to ever get it right. Because they make one little error. Instead of Melech, which means king, they put a wrong vowel in and it becomes Molech, which is king of the earth, or God, or ugly. Instead of Bema, instead of Bama, which is the place, the low place where you speak from, where you speak the word from, it's Bema, or vice versa, excuse me. Instead of Bema, the low place where you speak the word from, it's Bama, the high place activity of your head. You understand? Somebody without revelation could not ever have... You can imagine this book if it had nothing, if they took all the vowels out. Just look at it. It would make no sense to you. It took all the vowels out, took all the punctuation out, took all the spacing out.
Yeah.
Now, even in English, it would make it an impossible book for an uninitiated to read. Mm-hmm. Do you understand how many rabbis said that when this book was put in the common language, which they did, I'm not talking about making it another, I'm talking about when they put this book and wrote it down in Hebrew, called the Masoretic text, most of the rabbis just went insane. Can you imagine what I would have done? I'd have oozied a bunch of idiots that were going to do that. Because they were trying to make the word of God understandable to the human mind. They were trying to make it something that man could do. Instead of being that which is to shut up your mouth so that the revelation can come.
And something you could have access to outside of the tent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Portable.
And then what happens? Then the next thing they do is they do it, the Septuagint, which is in 250 B.C., and all the modern scholars today think it was the best thing that ever happened. Hallelujah. But the Septuagint, 70 scholars sent from Jerusalem, translated the Hebrew Bible into Greek. A bunch of rabbis in Jerusalem at that time gave up on the world and went out in the desert. I said, they've lost it. The world is irredeemable. They've not only put the vowel points in, they've tried to put it in a different language. Can you believe what they do today to the Living Bible? Or to the New American Standard? But everybody today thinks it's a wonderful thing. I can read it. It makes sense to me. Well, you dumb fuck. Of course it makes sense to you. It makes sense to you as a son of Satan to use the Word of God as an instrument of self-realization.
All these commentaries to make it even more...
Oh, yeah, and the Ryrie Bible, the Ryrie Study Bible, and the Volrude Bible, they're all, I promise you, if I had my way, I would destroy every one of them, and I'd shoot every one of them that read it. That's what happened if I were God.
I was reading it last night.
Huh? You'd be dead meat.
You'd spare one.
No, I wouldn't. What?
You do make Morton down in the
place. I never have understood why we, you know, read King James and.
You don't.
I mean, I never knew.
Do you not know? It's the only one that's closest to the meaning of Revelation.
Because it's the hardest to understand.
In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God. Now just remember that in every element of your life, it's in the beginning God, and if we go back to the end, in the end God. There's no in between. I mean, it's all God. The beginning of the earth, the Big Bang, was also the destruction of the earth. The beginning of time was the destruction of time. Man is not capable of understanding that. Unless you've seen, unless you've been there by revelation. Think of it. The beginning is the end. Not, oh well, the fruit of the beginning or the seeds of the end were in the beginning. No, no, no. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the beginning was the end. It'll give you a headache to think about it, so don't.
I don't even know what you're saying when you say that.
It means that everything in between is bullshit.
There's only now.
Okay. In the beginning, God created. Created is the word, a great word. It's the word Hebrew word bara.
Have we left Exodus chapter 20?
Yes.
That's just the one to show you that, and God spake.
Oh, okay.
That's the Ten Commandments. You understand? That's the beginning of the...
Okay. We're now on the fourth word.
Created, in the beginning, God created, bara. means creation ex nihilo, something you can't conceive of. Ex nihilo means out of nothing. It means something would come into existence where absolutely nothing existed before. The psalmist, it's the same word in the Psalms, in Psalm 51, where psalmist asks God for a new heart, something out of nothing. It's something that is not possible to do with what is there to work with. It's not possible for you to repent with what's there to work with. It's a great miracle when you can come to repentance. It's a greater miracle when you can come to full repentance. You understand that that's the only reason time is continuing, so that you can come to repentance, full repentance. Heaven's finished. Your seat in heaven is finished. All that's required is for your mind to know that, so you will be there by... You're there because you've tried everything else, and everything else sucks. Heaven is a place where there can be no if-onlys. Understand? If only. Oh. Listen to these idiots. Listen to the psychologists today. Psychology is a new thing. Psychology is simply the manipulation of Satan. That's all psychology is. Psychology is the manipulation of the mind of Satan. All of them are trying to improve the natural. That's what all religion is. Listen to the religion. Listen to the preaching. It's telling you how to do something better, how to get something, how to finish something. That's why we know in the beginning God, in the end God, and in between nothing. Everything that's in between is an illusion, but the illusion that's being used of God to cause you to be able to see that there's nothing else possible for you to want to do.
It's like in the beginning it is finished. It's like the beginning and the end.
I am the Alpha and the Omega. The word bara means to bring into existence. And it's used in several places. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, Ezekiel 21, verse 30, Ezekiel 28, verse 13 and 15. Now, when we come to man, we find out man is created in vanity, not in this. I mean, the great scripture that no one ever remembers is in Romans 8. It says, all things were created, all creatures were created subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has created the same in hope. Now, you got to get this in your mind. Creation itself was created for vanity. In other words, it was created for creation to see vanity. Just like you were created for one purpose, to see that all is vanity. If there's anything that you can feel, hear, see, touch, or smell, that it has worth, then everything I've told you is a lie. It has worth only in that it is vain. And it causes you to see that it's vain to chase after it. Everything that's happening, the only purpose of time and space is to renew your mind. Remember that, remember those of you who know about leaven and the afkamen bread and the mystery bread, it can only be created from five different kinds of grains. Each one of those grains must have the potential to be leavened. In other words, if it didn't have the potential to be leavened, it couldn't be the type of Christ. If you didn't have the potential to be leavened, you would be worthless to God. You'd just be an angel. God hates angels. The highest thing that you can conceive of, the highest religious order that man can conceive of, is an angel. That which man, almost every religion that I'm aware of, defines as the goal, is something that God said is worthless. An angel. Religion defines as the goal something that is holy, to their understanding of the word holy. God says untested holiness is garbage.
Why would God even have angels if they were?
Because they're the little guys that keep us from really getting wiped out. They're the little guys that they're the Levites of heaven. That's exactly right. They're the ones that are ministering us. They're the ones that are keeping these fucking gangs that are surrounding us from coming over and robbing us. They're the ones that cause all this time when somebody says something bad about us, they end up getting destroyed.
They're not the gang of the blessed.
They're a gang.
They're a gang.
They're a gang.
They sort of balance off the ones from the first creation.
Wow. They're a gang.
Wow.
Well, they were in the first creation, but they're the ones that didn't fall. They were the same family. They didn't fall.
They didn't eat.
They ate of the tree of life without eating of the tree of good and evil.
The other
two thirds. Yeah, there's more of them, huh? The highest that man can think of, the highest that these guys can think of, is to be holy. The highest that God wants is God wants pals.
To be inseparable.
God wants you to want what he wants. Not because he told you so, but because you want it without him telling you to.
You've experienced it and you know.
Because you've experienced everything else. Mm-hmm. That's what we're about. As long as I live, that's what we'll be about. We're not doing well here. Let's just read the rest of this shit.
We're on the fifth word. We were doing pretty good, I thought.
How long did we get to heaven?
We're halfway through the first verse.
You wanted to get to heaven.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The heaven. And the earth.
We didn't make it, everything.
Shit.
When he said heaven, I felt we didn't make it. We were going to get out of verse one, I thought.
Yeah, but terrible. Today is just going to read.
We're going to do this.
That's all we're going to do.
Yeah.
Now I'm not just reading. Helene says, I just want to get to heaven, which is like two words later.
You didn't know what she meant.
No, I'll
be satisfied if I get to heaven tonight.
Yeah, if I can get to heaven tonight.
Heaven is the Hebrew word shamayim, and it means simply everything above the earth.
That's easy.
You got it. But the earth is round. Shamaim is a technical word that means everything above the earth. Okay, that's all right. Earth is the word eres. It means both the earth and the earth itself as a globe and the physical land. The word is primarily used to designate the land of Israel. Now, if you want to look at something, go to Hebrew, not tonight, but just in your notes. Read Hebrews 3:15 through the whole chapter of Hebrews 4, and it's enlargement on this tale that I just read you. Okay? Hebrews 3:15 through 4, the end of the chapter. All right, let me see if we can forget. In the beginning, God created the earth, heaven and the earth. All that kind of stuff is like an introduction, right? I can get by with that. And the earth was without form and void. Now, without form and void is tohu abohu. I'm not going to get into that. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
That's kind of a that there was water there to begin with.
Now, this... Oh, never mind.
Don't do that.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, and I said, there can't be a past tense verb here. It can't be in God said. It can only be God is saying. And God is saying, let there be light. And there is light. Now, I can show you a lot of things. I can show you that by the Hebrew language, how that the universe itself was created from a drop of the blood of God. And I can show you that the light that we think of as light is simply the garment that covers God. And so when God said, let there be light, what he was really saying is, let's dim things down a bit so you can hear.
Let us be covered.
Okay?
Let's slow things down.
And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. What it really says, and the evening was, and the morning was, and it was the first day. Hebrew is the only system of thought that I think has ever existed where their day begins at sunset. And the reason is, it was all of Christ. It's all for Christ. When Christ said, the night cometh when no man can work, the night came when he was crucified. From then on, no man can work. You understand? Nothing that man can do has any merit, has any value. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, on James and Pastor Carey's church up there, there's a clock. And then it's up by midnight, it says, and the night cometh. I mean, preachers preach volumes on, and the night cometh, because they think it's coming someday when you can't. It's already come. The night has come, and no man can work. Okay? And God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, in your mind, that'll be a violation, because in your mind, you want to make firmament is the earth. Firmament is something firm. Huh?
Yeah, that's a good way of reasoning. I like that.
Everything. Oh God, it could take me 3 years to go through one verse.
I know, that's why we're worried about you. We'll never make it.
Okay, if you don't talk about that, talk about it to me privately. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land, or the dry, earth. And the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb.
Herb and Beth.
No, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Now, for those of you who were talking about the Nazarite vow, that verse defines what you eat. All that stuff right there is called pulse. It's you bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose fruit is in itself. So that's the only things that the Nazarite is permitted to eat. All that there is called pulse. Fruit and grains and grass. What?
Harry wants to be a Nazarite right now.
I didn't raise.
Well, not grass. Grass is like lettuce, is what they're talking about. I mean, that's what this means.
Lots of kale.
And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, the revelation of the third day is the seed bearing fruit, or the seed that, or the thing that bears fruit in itself. Almost all of the parables of Christ had to do with the vegetable world, the kingdom of vegetables or herbs, all of them that talk about spiritual reality are this. And the reason is that this vegetable kingdom grows without effort. In other words, if it's a vine or a tree or whatever it is, it grows with no effort on its part. It produces fruit with absolutely no effort, except it just sort of hangs around. So all the things of value that you eat, i.e. gain sustenance, gain identity from, are only those things which are fruit-bearing of themselves. Anything that requires work is animal. You understand? The fruit is that way, you know, any of you have been around, especially the Pentecostal or charismatic religions world, they say, well, I'm not judging you, brother. I'm just a fruit inspector. I'm just inspecting the fruit. What they do is they look at your life to see if their definition of work meets if your work meets their standards. If it doesn't, then you're disfellowshipped. And that's what we have to be careful of. We have to understand that the Spirit requires no effort on your part except an agreement with it. Okay? Let's quit. We got the third day, verse 13. We didn't get it very completely, but we got it as good as we're going to get it.
If we had time, I'd love to go back to the law and spirit.
Okay.
I know Paul said that, but you also said if you could understand, this is God speaking.
Let me try and just explain this stuff.
Sure, yeah.
And then we'll,
that was like
in my fingers. I'll just explain.
Okay. Everybody, you got to help me. You guys got to help me make it through the 3-year cycle.
Plus, we're done with that guy.
Okay, take it, big guy.
He's fine. I